I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, Latino voters could play a decisive role in this year's election. A new documentary explores the history of efforts to court this now key group of voters. We'll tell you about it in just a few minutes. But first, last night's presidential debate. John McCain and Barack Obama met last night in Nashville for their second debate. It was a town hall-style meeting on the campus of Belmont University, moderated by NBC's Tom Brokaw. With just about 4 weeks left before Election Day, both men are courting the roughly 10% of voters who say they have not made up their minds, as well as the 25% who say they might change their minds. So, how did they do? Yesterday, to preview the debate, we heard from former Rhode Island Senator Lincoln Chafee. He's a former Republican turned independent who supports Barack Obama. Joining me today for a post-debate discussion is the senior senator from Tennessee, Lamar Alexander, a Republican who supports John McCain. Senator, welcome. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for inviting me.
Senator, governor, former education secretary, it's hard to know how to address you first. And first of all, how useful was last night's debate? A number of the post-debate commentators thought the format was too restrictive. They thought that it was kind of slow. What about you? Did you think it was useful?
Barely. You know, I hate to say that because we're so excited in Nashville about having it here. But something was wrong with it. It might have been partly the format, but the candidates clearly weren't as good as they were in the first debate. And it was not nearly as interesting as the vice presidential debate, which was sparkling from beginning to end with Joe Biden and Sarah Palin both doing well. I mean, I had the feeling that it could have been over in 45 minutes and we wouldn't have missed anything.
Well, that's kind of tough. But the expectation was that this was going to be John McCain's night. I mean, this is the format that he prefers. He'd been pushing Barack Obama to accept a series of these kinds of debates. So how do you think he did? What did he do well? And is there anything he didn't do so well?
Well, he did do some things well. I thought they both weren't as good as they could have been. I thought Senator McCain's answer on Russia was very good. That was sort of a trick question that Brokaw threw out, which he's entitled to do. Would you say yes or no on it? And Senator McCain had a very good answer about it. I thought his close was excellent. I thought when they got into the military and foreign policy part of it, he looked like he knew exactly what he was talking about, and I thought Senator Obama looked more like he'd been briefed and was sort of commenting on foreign policy, which doesn't inspire much confidence. But for Senator McCain, I think it was a missed opportunity because it was a chance for him to say, look, we've got some problems. I've got a plan for the future. If you want somebody to take on Wall Street and Congress and special interests and terrorists all at once, I'm your man. And so that would have been a chance to pitch it to the future, and which is what I think he needs to do.
In fact, yes, I was going to mention that you were quoted in the Tennessean as saying that John McCain should talk about, and I assume you mean Barack Obama as well, should talk about the future, focus on the future, and tell the voters what he's going to do about the future. Did he do that?
Not as much as I hope he will in the last 4 weeks. It's important to remember that at this stage in 2000, that Al Gore was 7 or 8 points ahead of George Bush, according to the Gallup poll. But I think Senator McCain needs one of his comebacks here, and I don't think he can do it by engaging in differences with Senator Obama on past records, because that talks about the past. What people want to know is, what are you going to do about the future, about my pocketbook, about my health insurance, about my energy? And they started to do that, but not much detail.
You talked about one of the things that people are very concerned about, clearly, is the economy. That was a dominant issue in the debate last night. The financial bailout plan, certainly on people's minds. You voted for it. Both Senators McCain and Barack Obama voted for it. Last night, Senator McCain said he would order his Treasury Secretary to buy up some $300 billion of so-called bad home mortgages so that distressed homeowners could stay in their homes. But earlier this year, he said the country should rely on lenders working this out voluntarily. Is this a flip-flop, number one? And number two, you've already said that a lot of voters are already very upset and concerned about how much money we're paying for this financial rescue plan or bailout. Is that something you think that will be persuasive to voters?
Well, it could be. I don't think I would fault either candidate from looking at the picture and say, whoops, this is a much more serious problem than we thought we had last week or last month, and so we're going to have to do some unprecedented things. So that could be a very interesting proposal by Senator McCain, but he didn't go back to it. He didn't explain it. Didn't explain it very well. So I think he laid down some things in the debate that will give him a chance in the next 4 weeks to say, here's my plan on mortgages. Here's what I'll do if you can have more confidence in me if Russia invades Ukraine as it did in Georgia. Here's what I'll do about healthcare. He got started on that, but I think he had so much stuffed into his mind that he had to get out, maybe by his campaign staff, that he didn't have a chance to talk as much about the future, and I think that would have helped him.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. We're speaking with Senator Lamar Alexander. He's the senior senator from Tennessee, a Republican, and we're talking about last night's debate. There's one moment that I just have to ask you about. John McCain was addressing a question from a voter about the economy, and this is what he said.
But, you know, one of the real catalysts, really the match that lit this fire, was Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. I'll bet you may never even have heard of them before this crisis.
Now, the voter who asked that question is African-American. We've already gotten emails and we've seen focus group participants who found the answer at least condescending, and some consider it even more than that. What was going on there in your view? How do you see that response?
I think that's one of those times, and I haven't been in that level of a presidential debate, but I've been in presidential debates as a participant, and you phrase things in ways you wish you hadn't. I'm sure he meant no slight. I think what he's trying to say is most Americans, if you walked up to them and said, who is Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, they'd think they were your aunt and uncle. That's not condescending. That's just the way the world is. And I doubt if he was actually referring to the questioner. I'm sure if he had to do it over again, he would have said it differently.
But as I recall, Senator, you've always prided yourself on walking the walk and not just talking the talk, on things like volunteerism, on things like energy efficiency. I notice now that you're driving a Prius. Now, John McCain said this election would be about substance, that he would take the high road. He's running an ad right now criticizing Barack Obama for not keeping his promise to take the high road. In the last couple of days in the campaign, Vice Presidential nominee Sarah Palin's accused Senator Obama of palling around with terrorists, of not seeing America the way we do. You couple that with the fact that racial epithets were apparently thrown at an African-American journalist covering the campaign. That was behavior which was not challenged by the candidate. Is John McCain's campaign walking the walk on taking the high road?
Well, and of course, Senator Obama's campaign has dredged up the Keating 5 scandal on McCain 20 years ago in response. That happens in presidential campaigns. When I was running in the New Hampshire primary in 1996, Bob Dole was falling behind me, and so he ran negative ads. But it hurt him, and it hurt me as well. And Pat Buchanan won. So the negativity hurts not only the person you're aiming at, it hurts you too.
Yeah, but don't you think that race is a particularly toxic issue in this country? Do you think that race is becoming part of this campaign?
Well, race is the most difficult issue Americans have to deal with, seconded only by the move of women having the choice to work outside the home over the last 30 years. And we have to be careful how we talk about them. No doubt about that. And the fact that Senator Obama is African-American puts that out front. And the fact that Governor Palin is working outside the home and has children at home, one of whom has Down syndromes, all that puts that out right front. So we have to be careful about how we talk about it. But I think it just goes back to, in the last 4 weeks, I think Senator McCain will be best served by saying, if you want somebody to take on Wall Street, Congress, special interests, and the terrorists in these tough times, I'm your man. I think he has an advantage there over a less experienced Senator Obama. And I think Americans would rather hear that kind of discussion and hear about his plans for the future.
You're also campaigning as well this year. You're seeking re-election to your Senate seat. Your opponent is Bob Tuch, right? The state Democratic Party chair. What are the issues that you're focusing on?
Well, what I'm saying to the people of Tennessee is I hope you'll send me back up there to work across party lines to get results on big issues. And the big issues I want to get results are energy, health care, and stopping the spending excessiveness that we have today. In other words, I'm focusing mostly on the family budget, and that's what Tennesseans most want to hear.
And I also understand you're driving the hybrid, as I said. How do you like it?
Well, it's more than a hybrid. It's a plug-in electric vehicle. There are only 200 or 300 of them in the country, and it's a Prius that's been converted with a larger electric battery. You plug it in. I plug it in at night, and I use very little gasoline because I only drive a few miles and back and forth to work. I like it a lot, and I've worked hard to try to include the idea of transforming our gasoline engines in this country to using electricity. Most people forget that we have all this unused electricity at night when we're sleeping, and our electric companies, such as TVA, can sell us to it at a very low rate, and so we're not buying it from overseas folks many of whom are unfriendly to us.
Is this issue getting enough attention in the presidential campaign?
It should get more. It's getting plenty from the car companies. Every major car company, it looks like, is going to have these plug-in electric vehicles available in 2010, and the legislation we just passed in Congress last week on energy will give tax credits for it. I think within 5 years, 10% of us will be driving electric plug-in vehicles, relying primarily on electricity for driving, and that'll begin to cut our foreign oil use by a substantial amount, probably more than any other thing we could do.
And you're ahead of the curve on that one. So,
well, I hope I don't stay too far ahead of the curve. I think there are a lot of people catching up with me, because even with gas prices going down, I think it's a painful reminder. And if you can plug in at night at home for a dollar instead of filling up your tank for $60 or $70 with gasoline, there are going to be a lot of takers on that.
Well, Senator, sorry, there's so many other things to talk to you about. And one of the things we didn't get to talk about is education. You're a former education secretary, of course, under President George H.W. Bush. That really wasn't discussed in the debate last night, and unfortunately we don't have time to talk about it now. So we hope you'll come back and see us.
Thank you for the invitation.
All right. Senator Lamar Alexander of Tennessee joined us by phone from Nashville. Thank you so much, Senator.
Thank you.